The reading today is from Isaiah 49, verses 13 to 16. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. This is the word of the Lord.
So we hear our gospel reading, and John will read it for us. Thank you, John.
The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanging there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He replied, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Thank you for that reading, John. It's a strange reading to have at this time of year, as everything is gearing up towards Christmas. But the Sunday before Advent, the feast of Christ the King, offers us a chance to reflect on Christ's kingship. And rather like on Palm Sunday, we so often come to the conclusion that he's not that sort of king. He's not a king in the mold of this world. He's not into power, in the sense that power can be so often abused. At least, it's not that sort of power, not the power of force that so often becomes violence. But there is a different kind of power here in Christ, the power of love, the power of forgiveness, the power of his gentle presence that somehow changes the world most powerfully in his moment of utter weakness. He's not the sort of king either who's seduced by wealth, but there are riches here, a richness of life, a wholesomeness of life. Life in all its fullness. He may never have had two pennies to rub together, but never has there been a life more rich in life itself. And he's not the sort of king who wants to be loved, in the sense that he's not needy. He doesn't seek affirmation or praise for himself. And certainly not the physical kind of love that is the undoing of so many leaders. No, but there is love here and praise. Love pouring from God to humankind and praise responding, lifted up from Jesus to God the Father in the way that only a life completely given in his service can express. Power, riches, and love like never before seen, like never before expressed by this man, this Son of God, who became for us the King above all kings, redefining what kings should aspire to be, redefining what all of us should aspire to be. Not to be served, but to serve and give his life that we might live. And the plea from the criminal on the cross should be the plea on our lips when we reflect on our lives, our mistakes, when we, weary with whatever life has thrown at us, grief-stricken or in pain, paralyzed by fear, weighed down with responsibility, or even burdened by success, his bold plea should be ours. Not remember how good I've been, not remember how much I loved you, but empty-handed, with nothing of worth left to give except that we come to him in faith. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he does remember. Like God the Father in the Old Testament, how can he forget? How can he forget the one he has loved? Can a mother forget the child who fed at her breast? Well, they might. We can all forget things, and memories fade, and illness sometimes takes over our outward appearances. And love can be disfigured over the years. But can God forget his beloved people, loved though they cause so much pain, and sometimes that is the pain of love? Can Jesus forget one whom he would die for, one he went through all that for? He may choose not to remember our sins, as the psalm says, but he will not forget us. And those who do forget, who may lose all sign of faith or the person they used to be, who so often seem so absent to those who love them, are never forgotten by God. To God, they are always as fully alive, fully present, fully loved as they have always been. He does not only save the well, the healthy, the lively, the successful. No, he's not that kind of savior. He comes with a grace that is greater than anything we've seen before. And only in the cross do we see it fully expressed. Emptied himself, Paul said. Emptied himself of all but love, Charles Wesley would later add. There's another hymn that says, "Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember?" Well, we may forget, but he will always remember us. And at our end, on our dying day, may we feel him lovingly turn to us. And say, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise, where the love of our King goes on forever." Amen.